You're listening to Security Nation with host Kyle Flaherty.
Hey, everybody, this is Kyle Flaherty, and this is the Security Nation podcast on the Rapid 7 Radio Network, WRPD. I am surrounded today live with actually two of my colleagues on my team, which is great, and we are super close to the mic because we're doing this live and in really real time and really close to each other. So to my left is Mr. Matt Hathaway, who is really excited to be a part of this podcast.
I'm thrilled.
Exactly. You can hear it in his voice. And then to my right is Mr. Eric Sun, who is a day after his birthday. This is really the gift that I'm giving you, is the ability to record this podcast.
Thank you so much, Kyle.
You're welcome.
It's good to be here, though.
Exactly. So we are talking about SIM or SEAM or SEM or SIM or whatever, however you announce it. We're going to really break the record for acronyms and making fun of acronyms during this episode, I believe. But let's kind of level set in terms of where we're at in the SIM market. And so it's been about 15, 20 years, depending on who you count, when it comes to the SIM. But the first question I ask, you know, Matt, you can start us off, is when the idea and the concept of SIM was kind of created, why? What was going on? What was the original kind of goal here to actually do this? And, you know, quite frankly, there was SEM, there was SIM, and they kind of came together. You know, what were kind of the impetuses for that to happen?
Yeah, and it really comes, I mean, I use this term a lot in blogs and otherwise, but it's all about the centralization. It's about having that place to go to figure out what is happening on all these disparate systems and all across endpoint servers, different parts of the organization, and at the time you'd have to remote log into somebody's system and figure out what occurred, and so that was just didn't scale. It was not functioning. It wasn't helping people to address any issues and really see what the state of different systems are or what occurred on them. So that was a huge need, and having a place that would store all of those events, all of the different log files from those systems, and was a big deal. It was a big effort, and it even got to the point where some systems eventually it was a requirement that they would log.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no standard.
You mean the systems, you know, the all the different networking systems and stuff like that, yeah, would actually emit the logs?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, even like, how could you log into a firewall remotely and find out what occurred there? Well, it didn't matter. Firewall's doing its job.
Right.
And you just kind of had to trust that at face value.
Okay. So there's no recorded evidence, basically, that things were working. And so that actually brings it to where I think that, you know, we were talking about this earlier, of where compliance then came in, right? Because it's like, all right, now you have evidence. Now we have policies. Now you have to comply to those policies. We're going to use the SIM to do that. And so, Eric, you know, is that from the SIM? And again, we're talking about SIM, and we'll talk about new SIM, old SIM, traditional SIM, legacy SIM, whatever it is. But the original kind of taste and flavor of SIM, the compliance part was a huge part. Is it still the driving motivation for actually putting a SIM in place?
Yeah, so definitely a SIM can provide a lot of convenience since, as Matt mentioned, everything is centralized.
Right.
So let's say you have PCI compliance where you need to make sure that only authorized members are accessing credit card information or those databases. So it's very useful to have all of those disparate log files instead of having to jump around from system to system. You can just see it in that one central place, and you can fulfill an auditor request. You can build a report, and you can really have that visibility to meet those compliance purposes.
Right. And I think, you know, we all agree that obviously some regular, you know, there's compliance to different types of things, certainly HIPAA or PCI or whatever it is. There's a reason for those things. And again, we could go into that in a completely other podcast. But the fear I have around compliance, and I feel like maybe this was an issue with SIM in general, although I don't want to blame SIM. I don't know if it's the symptom or kind of just evidence of that. But compliance itself then lends itself to non-creativity and non-strategic thinking in security in general. Was SIM the reason for that? Is it a people process problem? Is it all of those things? What do you think?
I mean, I always view compliance as a whole, and most regulations when they're written as it's a process, right? And the tools that slot in to help with that, right, be it SIM or something else, are what's supposed to help that team be compliant. But you can't really blame the regulations for trying to serve as guidelines and say, this is what you must do, because the goal is security, right? Like, that's what all these regulations, especially PCI and HIPAA, is you know, this security and the privacy side of things. So you can't really blame SIM for serving as that tool.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of an open software development kit for the most part. It's right. Like, you can do it all here, but you got to do it yourself,
right,
and figure out how to do it. And we'll make, you know, we might have thousands of different reports already in it when we ship it to you, but you got to figure out which ones are important to you and whether that's relevant and make changes to it.
Right.
But it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it grew and grew and grew. And so what in the end happened is you're getting these massive lists that on day one were very usable. And now it's just too much to go through. It's too much to manage, and it just becomes a headache, and now you're drowning in data.
Right. Well, and at the same time, the policies have changed. The compliances, there's new ones, and or they change every year or 2 years. And so you're just adding that onto that overall. And so we talked about centralization. And now I got, and Matt, you kind of hit on this, that was just a new idea in general. So it was kind of fresh, and I could actually access these things. I could see, does the firewall actually doing what the firewall said it was doing? All right, that's amazing. But at the same time, now my network has grown unbelievably, you know, larger with all the different devices and all the just network topology itself. So when was the moment, and not that we have to pinpoint the exact date or year or even, but when did we start figuring out, all right, I got the centralized resource. I could probably use it for something more than just compliance or just that. I want to do more with this thing. I mean, when do you think that kind of starts happening for businesses at least?
Yeah, so that implies that the SIM is starting to evolve from just the centralization and really starting to analyze that data.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the fact is that we work so much differently than just even a few years ago. The fact that over the course of one day, we're going to switch between a laptop and a mobile device, or we'll go to our home and sign in on cloud service such as Office 365, Box, Google Drive, and work from there. So, I mean, it seems to be two things. One is that we're changing the way that we're working, which is completely changing how we're accessing data and how we're expected to secure that data. And the second being that the SIM now needs to run analytics to actually find new attacks, and the ways that attackers are getting in are constantly evolving as well.
Right. Well, and that's the part too that I think it's an obvious one, but I think it deserves a little bit of airtime, is the fact that we have these criminal syndicates now who are better trained, better funded, better motivated to actually go after us. And so I feel like that probably more than anything, when you get attacked, you look for some way to defend yourself. And when you realize those defenses aren't working, you got to figure something else out too. Lo and behold, here's the central repository of data that can tell me something overall. So I feel like the attackers probably drove us here faster than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty straightforward for them to say SIM is ubiquitous. Everybody has one. Okay, well, what kind of data can you put in a SIM? So where can we live outside of that,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, nobody's really able to monitor their cloud environments, and we're going to go start the attack there. It doesn't mean the data even has to be there. It's
right.
Just an entry point now. And they can't keep track if I impersonate an individual in the company? Great, I'll just go do that. And so that is where it started to stray away from being a valuable incident response tool. The SIM was suddenly still meeting the compliance need,
mm-hmm,
but it wasn't, it didn't contain the right data, and it was, you didn't know what questions to ask when you were trying to go to your SIM. Like, what should I be looking for?
Right.
Is it even in here, the evidence of that sort of behavior?
Yeah.
And it was just becoming too challenging and too expensive to try and send every type of data to the SIM and figure out how to make it get there, right? Because these were built primarily to support a server farm, right. you know, at one point in time, and people sitting at their desk with a tower next to them that's never going to leave.
Right.
And the onus was on the security team to work with the IT department to figure out how to get data from these non-local systems and these cloud environments and get that back into their SIM somehow. And for the most part, it just isn't possible.
Right. Yeah, and it was just a lot easier, right? Yeah. And so in effect, though, you brought something up that I think is interesting of, so we sit here and we talk about, you know, IDR and, you know, incident detection and response, and it's kind of new and all that stuff. It's like, it's not new. It's been around forever. And actually, the SIM was a good way to do it back when your environment was, you know, all contained. It was just in one office. I mean, we look around here at this office. Like, if everyone just had a desktop still and none of these, you know, newfangled smartphones, we'd be okay. I could just look this stuff up and I would just be able to kind of move on. But we don't live in that world, and that's a good thing in a lot of aspects, for sure. My question then comes to, we all saw this happening, and we all saw kind of this movement towards whether it was laptops. I mean, I've been on a laptop now for 15 years, right? I mean,
really dating maybe
yourself. Well, I'm old. I'm an old school radio guy. But, you know, it's been a long time. I've had a smartphone for... since, you know, not a smartphone, but a mobile phone for a long time, right? I had a sweet Motorola Flip.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah, it was awesome.
Did you ever own a Pocket PC?
I had a Pocket PC. I also had the Palm Pilot Trio.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites. I still have it. With my stylus, the screen's like this big.
Yeah, I had that Nokia brick.
Oh.
And that's all it was good for.
Remember the ring, though? Like, if you, like, the Nokia, this is why we need a sound effects board. Like, boom, we'd get the Nokia ring.
Remember the game Snake?
Oh, yeah, that was fun. That's all you could do.
On that 64 by 64 screen.
Right, right. In the airport when you didn't have to go through security.
Yeah, nobody was using that.
Right.
And
we were all smoking cigarettes, and it was fine. It's like indoors. Yeah.
We weren't all.
It sounds like 1950, like the way we're talking. All right, so we see this all happen in front of us. And fine, it's hindsight. We can sit here and say it's 2020. Why didn't SIM keep up? Like, why do you think it didn't keep up? Opinion time.
Yeah, well, it's not easy to be a SIM vendor. I mean, there's so many. They're expected to integrate with everything on the network stack, the security stack. Even taking care of that is challenging.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a ton of business development and relationship building that needs to go on there. And since they have the luxury of being the center of the so-called universe, now they're expected to find every kind of attack. I mean, especially with false positives being such a bad thing for security, it takes so much time to dig into those alerts. It seems that it's harder to be as creative in security as it is, say, applying data science or analytics to, say, buyer's insight for like a shopping cart or whatnot.
Right.
Simply because a new detection, if it doesn't have a great reliability, then it's just going to be turned off. And we saw that with IDS, IPS alerts in the past. And so certainly building that analytics while maintaining its place as the center console is a difficult challenge.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, I'm sorry, go.
I was going to say, in the paradigm.
I didn't think of it that way.
The paradigm that was introduced for SIM was it was a bolt-on. It was, okay, we have all this valuable data. How do we build these rules and start to use this for detection?
Right.
And it worked the first time. So they're like, hey, did you see that?
Yep.
That behavior the malware exhibited. We just detected it the next time it came on the network. This is awesome.
Sure.
And then what they didn't anticipate was 3 years later, everything is doing that same action legitimately,
right?
Or attackers will start to use tools that are legitimate tools in the network. You can't alert every time somebody uses GoToMeeting or some sort of remote login tool.
Yeah, you would.
So that's what the attackers will use.
Right.
So it becomes it's not just the fact that something occurs. It has to be compared to what's normal, and SIMs weren't capable of that. They were just making it possible to identify what happens and name it and say, this, don't let this happen again, or tell me if it happens again.
Right. And so then you're in a day-to-day grind with the rule. And it's not only is it not easy for the vendor, because now they're so big and so hard to manage and all that stuff. It's not hard. It's not easy for the people, mm-hmm. right, who actually have to do this. They got to create the rules. They have to make sure the data connector is the right one on, you know, whatever it is, all that kind of stuff.
They have to figure out when to retire a rule.
Right.
They have to figure out when they write a new rule, how do I make this valid outside of just this data set? Is that possible? There's so much to do on the user side, but also the vendor has to make sure they make it possible for you to create these rules and support new data types. And yeah, it's basically the model didn't scale in areas that they didn't anticipate.
Yeah, and it's you're now not trapped, although trapped, because you're still using it for compliance, and you need that kind of thing overall. But now we're in this model of, I don't want to have to deal with all the data. I don't want to deal with this, blah, blah, blah. And now we have this era that kind of rises over the last really 4 or 5 years of analytics, right? And so you brought something up, Eric, that I hadn't really thought about was, you know, as marketers, which, you know, I'm more, you guys aren't as, you know, ingrained in sort of the marketing world, which is good for you guys, which gives you more validity. It's why I'm really the host and you guys are the guests. And you'll get the gift bags afterwards. But it's more about the fact that we've been doing this in marketing for a long time. Like you brought up, you know, kind of predictive scoring and stuff like that for buyer insights, et cetera. That's been going on for a long, long time. Whether it was just people writing SQL queries on data, you know, 25 years ago, people were doing this stuff, right? But security, it's kind of new, right? We saw this big burst of it and whatever you want to call it. And I'm sure we'll talk about acronyms at this point. But what, you know, where have you seen as you've, you know, kind of spent this part of your career in security, the analytics bubble just got big really, really fast. What's kind of driving that?
Well, certainly there's got to be a relationship with preventative technology starting to be not the end all be all.
Right.
Yep. And so as it's accepted, generally accepted, firewalls, anti-malware solutions, web proxy, simply preventing the attacker from getting in is no longer a viable route of action.
Right.
And so since banks now employ time to contain, these 24/7 security operation centers, SOCs, it's more and more necessary to find the attacker once they've actually gotten onto the network.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, these analytics need to identify what behavior the attacker is exhibiting and hopefully alert on it before the attacker gets to the financial server, the credit card database, or whatnot.
Right. And so, all right, so now, and you mentioned user behavior, so we might as well talk about the new era of acronym alphabet soup. But we've seen security analytics, we've seen user behavior analytics or UBA, we've seen UEBA, we've seen SUBA, I'm sure we'll see other things, UBAA. We will keep going as
don't
time.
Don't get me started on this made up word analytics.
What is that? It's an acronym. You didn't know that? Okay. We'll define that over time. But, you know, at its core, you know, what is it? What is all of these things? How do you define analytics?
Oof. I would define analytics as kind of pre-asking questions, right? Like that was the best SIMs out there allowed you to ask any question,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Any question of what's going on in the network and in your environment, and you could get an answer. And it's whether it's through search or some other tool, maybe dashboards you created, whatever. That was their goal, but what people kept finding is they didn't know what to ask given the ever-changing methods of attack. And so that is what the analytics are giving you, is this is a valid question to ask of the network. You know, very simplistic ones like, where in the world are people logging in from?
Right.
Right. But also looking more at, all right, I don't need to understand baselines. I don't want to hire a data science team, but I want to know that you're going to tell me whenever people stray from normal behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be, you know, somebody's uploading massive files to Box or something like that. And that could be fine that day, but I still want to be able to find that out when it comes to it, to mm-hmm. say, all right, is, you know, this doesn't look quite right. What else is going on with this individual? What else have they done in the past or recently? and immediately have some of those questions asked for you. You know, like, oh, well, they've also started to log in from new systems. We've never seen them use this laptop. Right? Well, that's not an alert. That's
right.
You can't build a SIM rule to alert you every time Kyle gets a new laptop.
You could, but then you'd want
him in the ocean most days. Right.
But then you'd want to kill yourself because you're getting a million alerts.
Right. So the analytics is to have that additional context and those pre-asked questions when you need them, and not bombard you with all these pre-canned IOCs or indicators of compromise, because they're not an indicator of compromise.
Right.
They're relevant to a potential compromise.
Yep.
But it's really a different way of looking at it.
Right. And so, all right, so we have analytics, however you want. And to me, yeah, I mean, I think you're right. It's analytics is an answer to a question. It may be a question you didn't know you have, or it may be a question you did know you have. But that should be something that we should be allowed to do our own on the data that we already have. And so then we get to the centralization part again, right? We come back around of, all right, I want to do this. What's the best place to do this? It's the SIM, right? But at the beginning, at least, I think, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but it was an add-on. It was kind of, there was a bunch of technology and innovation that came out, and I've worked at, you know, startups that tried to do this too, that would sit on top of the SIM and kind of spit out analytics. Is that the right model in the approach, or is it something
architecture diagram
more than it was? Yeah, so it was like a hat on top of a person. It was really good.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was good.
So certainly there are a lot of organizations that have invested a lot into their SIM deployment,
right?
Tailoring it, building the rules to really fit their architecture. So wanting to get that extra bit of insight into it is certainly something that a lot of organizations are looking into. I think one of the most common pain points is not being able to identify the user that's actually being affected by an alert. So a lot of SIMs, they output the alert by an IP address, and there's still steps that need to be taken to say who had that IP address at that exact time. And so being able to tie that all together to say, hey, this is something bad. Not only was this person affected, Pam in marketing, but I also need to see, did this attacker go anywhere else?
Right.
Was there a lateral movement? And so tying to Matt's point about kind of the false positives and baselining, I mean, certainly being able to identify, is this lateral movement actually good? Is it legitimate behavior, or is it actually something I need to be concerned about? That's something that people want to get out of their SIM, and they're looking to these bolt-ons or added analytics companies to hopefully provide that.
Yeah, because but most people, and it's just weird that you said Pam in marketing. That was like my former boss was named Pam.
It was the homage.
She was the VP of marketing. That's so weird. And I'm sure she's listening right now.
Did she say Sim?
She did not say Sim. No, that was my former CTO, and I hope he's listening as well. I'll certainly send this to him. But sitting on top of something isn't always the best. Now I got two windows. Now I got this. Now I got that. I have integration points. You talked about the architecture in a joking way, but architectures are real and not always a good thing, because it means there's some friction points of integration that can be a huge pain.
Yeah, and on top of that, it was in pockets, right? It was the elite 1% of teams that had an in-house software development team
that
could correlate and build all of this on top to start to see some of this behavior. And then, it's custom made. Anybody leaves that org and suddenly it's not working anymore and they don't know how to maintain it.
Right.
Yeah.
They get new technology in-house and it can't work with that. It can't get logs from that. There's all these challenges because it wasn't really a part of the SIM, right?
Mm.
It was, you had the ability to build it on top, but because it was so challenging, it isn't reaching the other 99% of teams that also need to ask these same questions.
Right. Did you want?
Yeah, I mean, to add on to that, I mean, hardware is also a big constraint as well.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Every company wants to get bigger. Ideally, it's expanding, adding new devices, mobile devices, services to the network.
Yep.
It all generates more and more data. And so a lot of customers are feeling the pain of having to really grow and water a hardware farm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that yours?
It is.
Wow.
It is.
Grow and
You're
water.
You're free to use it, though.
I like it. Can we start with planting? Plant water grow?
Like, yeah, you can take it however.
All right.
I'm just thinking of taking walks through the server.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And just fresh smell of soak servers.
Yeah.
So, soak in that refrigerant.
that the burn off. Okay, so we've talked a lot about kind of the past, and it seemingly we've come back around, though, where now we're at this point where, of course, everyone loves to say blank is dead, you know, name your technology, blah, blah, blah. And I think the three of us kind of share a similar mentality of it's not about saying something's dead. It's about, all right, solving a problem.
Unless you put air quotes and then
Right, then it works, right. I've actually been air quoting this entire conversation. But where are we with SIM? What's going on? Where do you guys think we are in, you know, May of 2016? Because people will be listening to this podcast forever. Where are we? Where is SIM?
I mean, SIM, I think, is going to continue to offer what people are getting value from it. Like, if people are getting that value, it's just that they can't expand. They can't continue to scale to new challenges. And it's becoming far too much management and expense to keep adapting that to new problems. And that is the big challenge, right? Like, it's not the same original problem. Centralization isn't enough anymore. And, you know, with the very commonly discussed skills gap in the cybersecurity community, they can't just say, we'll throw more people at it. That'll solve this problem.
Right. Well, because hiring security people is so easy, as we've talked about in previous. What about you?
I think a big challenge is security expertise. So if they need to build detections to reliably detect what attackers are doing in the future, next year, coming years, they could either attack it from identifying anomalies and alerting on those anomalies, or trying to find the exact traces attackers leave behind and specifically request those sources of data. And so that's going to be a big challenge moving forward. Certainly, all of the vendors are moving towards adding more and more analytics, and we're all improving in that regard. The key measure of success is false positives and whether or not customers are using those features. Right. I mean, we can roll out tons of new features, prevention, containment, but if they're not working to the degree of actually saving people time, it's just not going to work.
Right.
And that's, you know, if analytics isn't at the core of the solution, it's just going to create a new type of false positives, right? If you're bolting the analytics on top of your SIM,
right,
with, as they're, you know, these vendors are trying to do to keep up, it's just suddenly now you're getting new alerts. They're not the old ones. Now these are much better. These aren't rules based. These are anomaly based, because, you know, every time you travel, that's anomalous, right? And so it's new noise, it's new alerts, but it doesn't mean they're valuable if it's not at the core of the solution, right? It can't just be a bolt-on.
Right. And so, you know, both of you were, you know, working with and on the Insight IDR product that came out in February of this year, obviously inspired by the former User Insight product. But we kind of, you know, we like to say it's the SIM you always wanted. But I guess I'd ask, quite frankly, and, you know, I don't want to get into too much promotion type of stuff, but I do think we've seen this moment of, I mean, we started this conversation of SIM, centralization, awesome, like really helpful. I needed that. And I could detect things and I could do it. And oh my God, it can help with compliance and that's great too. And then the world went crazy with devices and attacking and all that stuff. And now I feel like we're back around at least clearing the scope a little bit, because we had time to actually create something from the ground up that could do all of this and more. Am I, you know, drinking my own Kool-Aid here?
No, I mean, it basically talking with our existing customers and identifying what was still missing when we talked to some of our prospective customers. You know, we really needed to add that ability to get into the raw logs and search and have that ability when necessary. And so by the end of adding that and pulling in all the tech that we acquired in log entries, we realized we are a SIM replacement now. This is solving the same centralization and access to all of the activity that SIM was intended to do. And even if you break down the however you spell it, acronyms, mm-hmm. security information and event management. Well, we offer all of that,
right?
And all of the data you would need in a SIEM for compliance and these other reasons were now in Insight IDR. It wasn't the initial goal,
right?
But to solve and be the one place for an entire investigation to occur, you had to have all of that,
right.
All of what was in the SIEM before. Reduce the noise somehow, not make it so that, you know, every single event that occurs is on this massive list, but make it accessible when they needed to ask that one more question.
Right.
You know, go to search at that time.
Yep.
And to share a bit of the backstory for those that may not be familiar with Insight IDR or User Insight for our user behavior analytics, I mean, when we were first developing the product, we found that customers still had, they had SIEM technology in place, but they were still, quite frankly, getting breached. They were not reliably detecting pen tests. And so we have pen testing teams at Rapid7, and talking to them, they mentioned, you know, we're successfully getting on the network every time through compromised credentials and lateral movement. And so that was really where we first looked at user behavior analytics to see what's legitimate behavior on the network and what is very strongly indicative of something that could be malicious.
Right.
And then growing on that, as Matt mentioned, finding that organizations not only wanted to use this for their detection, but they also wanted it to use it as their central console for all of their information.
Right.
Since we had the integrations there already, it's really more of, I want to do more with this data for my compliance purposes or search purposes.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny because it's not, you know, in this section brought to you by Rapid7, but I do think it's important because it's one of the reasons that I joined was, you know, that product itself and the vision of that inspired by something that was useful for customers for so long in the SIEM world, and then coming from user behavior analytics world where I was, I could just naturally kind of see that fit. And I think it all comes down to just, we wanted to solve a problem. And there's other ways to do that. And we have one of the ways. And we think it's really important. But it really inspires that whole life cycle of SIEM overall as we've seen it. We're hitting the half hour, which I knew we would. Even though we try. And let's just keep it at a half hour. I think that probably works, right? But how do we integrate the UBA, IDR, and SIEM acronyms into one major acronym? We need to do this. Sindarabuba? Like, we got to work on this. As a team, guys, like, this is probably one of our big goals, don't you think?
This is what we spend a lot of our time doing.
I think, from what I saw, Forrester was the first one to try, right?
They
security analytics, they had the blanket that includes...
Right.
SUBA or
yep.
UBA or whatever,
yep. Yep.
And it's the larger SIEM plus analytics combination. SA is pretty boring. Also.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if eventually do we either see SIEM split off into just the complete, like maybe there is just a log and compliance part of it, but then there's a new type of thing. And this is something obviously
think about. There is log management today. It's still a separate thing.
True, of course.
Confusingly.
Right.
Log management and then there's SIEM. And what's the difference? Well, it's capabilities.
It's the use case they're using it for.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so if that's all the team needs is that log management, if they're not looking for that security use case, that incident response or their SOC members,
right.
Log management is still going to serve the centralization part of it. But if you really want to have somewhere to go for all of the investigation, for looking through the alerts, for reaching out and finding out what's going on right now on endpoints, or looking at what just occurred yesterday, trying to compare to what you have for new threat intelligence, anything like that, log management just isn't going to, it's not going to suddenly have a new bolt on that makes that work.
Right. And there's other things you can do with log management in the more the ops realm, but
network monitoring,
right?
It can be great,
and that'll be, I'm certain, a podcast in the future with our brethren in the log entry side. And we'll do that. So, awesome, guys! Thank you so much for joining us on the fourth Security Nation podcast.
It's great to be here.
Well, thank you so much, I really appreciate that. Would you like to say anything about how great it was to be here, Matt?
I'm happier than when it started.
Okay. Excellent. And that's a great way to end. So thank you all for listening in, and we'll see you all soon.